This podcast was recorded on Thursday, April 7th at 10:55 a.m. Things may have changed by the time you hear this. Yeah, like white Senate candidates won't film anti-critical race theory ads on the Edmund Pettus Bridge. That wouldn't happen, would it? Let's talk politics.
This is Snollygoster, WOSU Public Media's weekly look at Ohio politics and all those shrewd politicians in search of controversies to help generate votes. I'm Steve Brown.
And I'm Mike Thompson. Coming up on the podcast, the Republican race for U.S. Senate gets even nastier as primary voting begins.
It does indeed. But first, Ohio lawmakers will consider a bill that would limit what teachers can teach students about LGBTQ issues.
It's modeled after a law in Florida and bills under consideration in other states. Supporters call them parental rights and education bills. Detractors call them don't say gay bills.
The measure here in Ohio would prohibit teachers from teaching about sexual orientation or gender identity completely in kindergarten through third grade. For older grades through high school, teachers could not teach LGBTQ issues that are not, quote, age appropriate.
If they violate the law, teachers and principals could lose their licenses and school districts could lose state funding. Joining us now to discuss this legislation is Andy Chow, State House reporter and editor for Ohio Public Radio. Andy, welcome to Snollygoster, and this time we're not going to ask you about redistricting.
Hey, y'all. Hey, that sounds really good.
Nice change of pace.
So let's talk about culture wars instead.
Sure.
After the controversy in Florida, Andy, and the buzz that it created for Governor DeSantis there and Republicans there, I guess we could all assume at this point, maybe in hindsight, that it was only a matter of time before this bill was introduced in Ohio. Who is behind this legislation? And I guess to what extent do you know their motivation?
You're right, Steve. It was only a matter of time. And this just adds to a growing trend here in Ohio and in legislatures around the state to introduce legislation that puts bans and prohibitions on what teachers can teach, what educators can talk about in the schools. Now, one thing I will say is it is still very early on in the process. And while the language is out there, while the bill is out there, there's not a lot of information out there or answers as to why this was introduced in the first place. We have Republican Representative Gene Schmidt and Republican Representative Mike Loychik, who are the two sponsors of this bill. At this point, there are no co-sponsors of the bill. When I talked to several Republican legislators, they were surprised that was even introduced and surprised to even hear about what the bill does. And that is exactly the question that's still out there. What does this bill actually do? It's similar to the language that we saw in the Florida bill, but it says things like, you are not allowed to teach or provide instruction on sexual orientation or gender identity if you're between kindergarten and third grade. Well, what does that mean? What does that look like? And if you're going to lay out laws for how teachers can get in trouble with something that critics say is ambiguous, then that can create some real problems.
And you tried to get some answers on this Tuesday in the State House when you were trying to catch up and speak with Gene Schmidt. Here is the exchange, or I guess the lack of exchange that you had with her.
Representative, would you have time to talk about HB 616?
I have a bill over in the Senate. I have to go.
Okay, great. Can you talk after that? No.
No, I'm busy.
Okay, you don't want to talk at all about the bill?
So there you go. And we do have a statement from the other sponsor, Mike Loychik, but pretty vague, though, still saying that they want to, quote, age-appropriate education. That's really the extent of what we have.
Yeah. And so I just want to note how uncommon that exchange between me and Representative Schmidt was. When you see legislators at the State House, it's very common to be able to meet up with them in the hallways, to be able to talk. They'll say, hey, listen, I don't have time right now, but let's get together. The fact that she just kind of ran off and refused to talk about it and has still refused to talk about it as of the taping of the show, I think is just a very unusual thing.
Can I ask a question? Do we know how many first and second grade teachers are instructing kids on LGBT issues in Ohio?
That's one of my big questions. And what does that look like? And, yeah. And what is the big concern? And have problems come up in Ohio? And is this a response to those problems? We don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I can see, you know, it can see you don't want second graders, you know, getting sex ed classes, you know. But the thing that comes up, and the opponents of these types of legislation say, is what happens when they do the family tree exercise? We've all remember doing that in first or second grade. Or when they say, what does your mom and dad do for work? And one of the students says, well, I don't have a dad, I've got two moms. Or I don't have a mom, I've got two dads. And does that go into instruction? That's where the opponents say that the bill is too vague.
And that's where I think if this bill were to go to the committee process, that's where a lot of those questions can be answered. And I'm sure that there are critics of the bill, especially assuming that there are going to be Democratic legislators against this bill, who will ask those questions. Because again, like you just mentioned, Mike, the bill says sexual orientation. That could mean anything, all sorts of orientations. So where do you draw the line, and what is prohibited and what is not prohibited?
Hey, Andy, you spent Tuesday talking to some advocates in the LGBTQ community. They talked repeatedly about representation. They would even take it a step farther. I would say that it is the ambiguity problem, but they also think that this issue should be able to be addressed in classrooms.
Yeah, and I think it's worth noting that the effect that this could have on LGBTQ children and educators, it can't be overstated. The fact that something like this can be the target of a focus of a prohibition, these advocates for the LGBTQ community say it can have a chilling effect. It can make LGBTQ people feel diminished, make them feel that like they've been silenced. And it is already a group that is vulnerable to bullying, vulnerable to mental health issues. And the fact that there's legislation out there that targets who they are can have a real big impact on their mental health.
Yeah. And then, you know, you make your question whether this bill was really carefully thought out, because one of the provisions says that for the older grades, grades 4 through 12, you can teach about sexual orientation and gender identity so long as it is age appropriate and developmentally appropriate. And it says it relies on the State Board of Education to set those standards, but apparently state law prohibits the State Board of Education from setting such standards.
Yeah, it does get into interesting issues when it just comes to sex ed in general, which has been a topic of debate in the state when it comes to standards in the first place. Some school districts go about it one way, other school districts go about it a different way. So adding this to the mix is causing just additional problems, could cause additional problems.
And the phrase age appropriate is so vague anyway. I mean, as a father of a young boy who loves to play video games, he's 8 years old, and some of the teen games are perfectly appropriate, and some are wildly inappropriate for my 8-year old. And so that's a very vague thing. Andy, I know that the sponsors of this bill are not talking. Could you talk about the support that bills like this in other states are getting? They're mainly revolving around this issue of parental rights. That's how they're framed. If you watch Fox News, they're calling these parental rights bills, where parents they contend just want a larger say on what's being taught.
Yeah, and again, I wish that the sponsors would have talked to us, because I would have loved to share more about why they are introducing a bill like this. Like you said, in other states, the focus has been about a parent's right to be able to teach them what they want to teach them, and that the things that they don't want their children to be taught isn't showing up in the classroom. Again, what that is, what that means, still don't know. But it does really focus on a parent's right. In all of this, if a parent finds out that their child is learning something that the parent believes is inappropriate or goes against what they think should be taught in schools, then it gives the parent, in this Ohio bill, it gives the parent the right to file a complaint with the State Board of Education. And that could result in a teacher losing their license or a school district losing some funding.
Yeah. And it goes beyond just the sexual orientation and gender identity. It would ban teaching of other topics like the 1619 Project, which was launched by the New York Times, about the history of race in America, also critical race theory, and anything that's divisive along racial lines. And so it goes beyond just the LGBTQ issues.
Absolutely. Yeah, not to be forgotten in all of this is that it revives these bans that have been introduced in other bills that have been amended out of those bills. So now they bring it up in this new bill that includes the sexual orientation and gender identity teaching ban. It also includes, like you just said, Mike, critical race theory, the 1619 Project, DEI issues.
Yeah.
Andy, House Speaker Bob Kupp has said that this issue has not come up with the House Republican caucus. He has not read the bill himself. Do you think that says anything about its future? I mean, would you see it going up to a vote or going to a committee or passing, or who even, you know, Governor DeWine signing it is a whole other measure. But do you think this bill has a realistic future in this legislature?
You know, it's always hard to really predict what might happen in the Ohio, especially in the Ohio House. But if I were to guess, because of the nature of the primaries that are happening, the fact that redistricting is still a thing, the fact that the legislature is trying to work on bail issues, I think that this issue might be falling lower on the list of priorities before spring break and summer break. But that's not to say that momentum might shift in its direction in the coming weeks.
Andy Chow, State House reporter and editor for Ohio Public Radio. Thanks for joining us on Snollygoster.
Thanks for having me.
We'll be right back.
Support for WOSU podcasts comes from listeners. You can give at WOSU.org. Thank you for supporting digital content from WOSU Public Media.
This is Snollygoster from WOSU Public Media. In other Ohio politics headlines this week, we are still waiting for the Ohio Supreme Court to rule on the fourth version of the state legislative maps. Those districts are not on the ballot that voters have begun using to cast their votes this week. Early primary voting has begun. Voters are deciding statewide and congressional primaries. One name that is on the ballot won't serve if elected. That's Congressman Bob Gibbs, whose district is east of Columbus and south of Cleveland. The possible interim congressional map hurt his chances for re-election. Gibbs lost more than half of his voters with the new map. And he faces a primary challenge from several candidates, most notably Max Miller. Miller has raised a lot of money, is a former Trump White House aide, and he has the backing of the former president. So Bob Gibbs says, I'm out. I'm not going to serve again. I'm going to leave Congress. So he will not be the next congressperson in the new 7th Congressional District in Ohio. Turning to the Senate race, the candidates for U.S. Senate, the Republican ones, once again debated this week. And with each of these sessions, the nastier the candidates seem to get. Mike Gibbons and Jane Timken went hard after Josh Mandel. Josh fired back. It sometimes got personal. Jane Timken went after Mike Gibbons and Matt Dolan. Dolan went hard after J.D. Vance. You get the idea. The race remains extremely tight, and there is no Donald Trump endorsement in sight. The ads are getting more bold. Josh Mandel this week issued an ad denouncing critical race theory as he is walking down the middle of the road on the Edmund Pettus Bridge. And he cites the word of Martin Luther King, who led, of course, that famous march on the bridge. That led to a Twitter argument between Mandel and Dr. King's daughter, Bernice King. There are 26 days to go. Just 26. We'll get there. Time now for our Snollygoster of the Week Award, which we give every week to the shrewdest politician or political move of the past 7 days. This week, it goes to State Rep. Ron Ferguson. He's upset with the Ohio Supreme Court, which has rejected three sets of state legislative district maps, as we mentioned. The Republican blames the court for the need for a second primary election, and he wants the court to pick up the tab. The Republican from the Steubenville area has filed a bill that would cut the Supreme Court's budget to cover the cost of the second primary. He says the court, not the redistricting commission, which is on its fourth try, is not moving quickly enough.
This is something we only do once every 10 years. So here we are in a once every 10-year situation, and the Supreme Court just has not prioritized it the way that the redistricting commission has.
No doubt Representative Ferguson is aware that the majority of the court is Republican. And most of the time, that court issues rulings that Republicans find acceptable. So, for trying to penalize judges for making a ruling he disagrees with, Ron Ferguson gets our Snollygoster of the Week Award. That is it for this week. Please give us your suggestions for Snollygoster of the Week. You can email us at snollygoster@wosu.org. Help us grow our audience by giving us a good review on Apple Podcasts. For Steve Brown, for web producer Michael DeBonis, I'm Mike Thompson. For Snollygoster, from WOSU Public Media.